Can I ask you please to take your Bibles and turn to the New Testament and the Gospel according to John, John's Gospel in chapter 17. John chapter 17. Take this opportunity to thank God's servant for the invitation to be here this evening and to share with you. And we pray that the Lord will meet with us, speak to us as we come around his word now at the close of this meeting. John chapter 17, and we're going to take the time to read the first 9 verses of this chapter together. John chapter 17 and the verse number 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Let's end there at verse number 9, and we look to the Lord to add his blessing upon the reading of his word. It's the words of verse number 3 that we want to consider for a time this evening in the Gospel, John chapter 17, and the verse number 3. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I want to speak tonight on the subject of the essence of eternal life. But before we come to preaching of God's word, can we just still our hearts, please, in his presence, and ask for his help as we come to the preaching of God's word tonight. Father in heaven, I want to thank thee for thy presence already with us in this meeting. We thank thee, O God, for the singing of these hymns together. We thank thee, O God, for all thy goodness and all thy mercy to us. Thank thee, Lord, for the messages brought in song by the men tonight, and what a blessing they've been to our hearts already. But Lord, we pray now that as we come to thy precious word, we ask, O God, that you'll come and still this place and solemnize this meeting, O God, with the presence of thy Holy Spirit. How much we need thee. Lord, we stand in great need once again tonight. Lord, the blessings of past times will not be sufficient for this present time. Therefore, O God, we pray that you'll come and help us in the preaching, help us in the hearing. O Spirit of God, fall upon us, we pray. Lord, speak to every heart. Lord, especially to those today who are gathered with us out of Christ, we ask, O God, that you'll open their eyes, open their hearts to see wondrous things out of the law of God. O Lord, we pray that you'll reveal thyself to them, we pray. Speak to them, Lord, with that voice. Lord, that still, small voice, yea, Lord, that voice that would thunder from heaven tonight. Speak, O God, we ask of thee. Hide this preacher far behind the cross. O God, we pray that none might be seen, save Christ and him only. May no voice be heard but the voice of our God. Lord, come and do our hearts good. Bless us, we pray, as we further wait on in thy presence. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. John chapter 17 is that chapter where we get a real insight into the heart of Christ. In this chapter, the Lord lays before us the real desire and the delight that he has in his own people. We see something of what Christ intends for his people and for all those who would trust him in salvation. It is, of course, his great high priestly prayer. It is that prayer that he offered to his Father And as all prayer is, it is an unburdening of his heart before his Father for those matters that are heavy upon his heart and for those matters that he petitions his Father for. There can be no doubt that this chapter, while at times difficult to comprehend, is one of the most thrilling chapters concerning Christ, as we see the real love and passion and desire that he has for us revealed in the verses of this chapter. But right at the very start of this prayer, Christ makes a very clear and a very distinct statement about one of the great necessities for all and one of the great benefits and blessings of redemption, namely that of eternal life. You see, life is not life tonight unless it is eternal life. Real life that lasts, real life that satisfies, is not the life that we have by nature. Now, I don't need to tell you today, of course, that each one of us have some form of life within us. Our hearts are beating, we're breathing. There is life within us right at this very moment. And of course, that goes true for all people. We know and we experience some form of life. But you see, that life that we have by nature, folks, tonight, is not eternal life as we have it revealed in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. Our life by nature is only a mere existence. Why? Because it is a life devoid of any true meaning and any lasting satisfaction. You might say to me today, but I have a great life. You talk with people who are unsaved, and they say that things are going well for them. They're enjoying life. They're living life to the full. But then what about those times when things take a turn for the worse, situations change, and life becomes hard? What happens then? You see, sad to say, when such times come, as come they will, people who have not eternal life see no meaning in this life, see no real contentment, no lasting satisfaction in this life, and so they give up on this life because they do not have eternal life that is spoken of here in this verse. But what is eternal life? It's one of those phrases that we know so well in the gospel. But what exactly is it? What's it all about? It's that subject, therefore, that we want to consider tonight by the help of God, the essence of eternal life as it is revealed to us here in John 17 in the verse 3. First of all, I want you to see with me here the explanation of eternal life. Verse 3, John 17, it says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Life eternal. Eternal life, by definition and by explanation, is a knowledge of God. Eternal life is knowing God. We live in a society today, don't we, where it seems that knowledge is power. The more you know, the more knowledge you have, we're told it can open all sorts of doors in this world into many different spheres of life. Many people are obsessed with gaining greater knowledge. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to increase our knowledge. Nothing wrong with wanting to expand our knowledge. All of that is very commendable. And a greater knowledge of any given matter can often equate to a greater degree of life and living. The more you know, the more you feel that life has more significance. But that knowledge that this world has to offer is not the source of real life, of eternal life. The source of eternal life is a knowledge not of the things of this world. Rather, it is a knowledge of God. And this knowledge referred to here in this verse and in other verses as well, it's not an academic knowledge. It's not a head knowledge. Rather, it is a heart knowledge. It is about a personal knowledge, not an academic knowledge. There are many today who are professors of religion. And they will lecture on many things relating to God. They'll talk and they'll discuss about the Bible, about matters pertaining to the things of God. And of course, many of them will discount and they will disregard the truths that are recorded for us in the Word of God. Why? Because it doesn't fit in with their rational understanding of things. The Word of God does not suit their particular understanding. They do not realize that the Word of God and the work of God is a supernatural word and work. But nonetheless, they will teach and they will talk. They will discuss about God. They are professors of a knowledge of religion, but they are not possessors of the knowledge of God. They do not have this knowledge that is spoken of here in verse number 3 concerning eternal life. They do not have eternal life because they do not know God in that saving personal manner. They do not have that saving relationship with God, which is the basis and the foundation of eternal life. Let me ask you tonight, as you sit here in this meeting, do you have eternal life? Do you know God? Do you have the saving relationship with Him? Because, friend, if you don't, then you do not have eternal life. You are not a possessor of life eternal as it is revealed to us in the Scriptures. And when the Bible speaks about a knowledge of God, speaking about a knowledge that you have within your heart, not simply in your head. You see, you could know all the things pertaining to God. You would be able to discuss all the matters pertaining to religion. You could have it all in your head, but if it's not in your heart, then it's of no avail. So how can we have this knowledge of God? This knowledge of God, which is so essential to eternal life, it is only through Jesus Christ. Look at the end of verse number 3. They may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You see, no person can know God except through Christ. No person can ever have the saving knowledge of God except through Jesus Christ. This verse very clearly states that eternal life is inextricably linked with the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You can only know God tonight through Christ. Jesus Christ is the mediator. He is the one who stands between God and man. He is the one through whom we can come to God, the one through whom we can know God. You see, dear unsaved, in this meeting tonight, the life-giving knowledge of the Father and the Son is through the saving power of Christ attained for us at the cross. Remember, Christ is the express image of God. He is God, God incarnate. He is God revealed in the flesh. He is God revealed in the Word. And if you're ever going to know God tonight, if you're ever going to have this life eternal, it will only be through Christ. He Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, said in those well-known words, John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here He is speaking about His Father, about heaven, the place where He dwells. And He says He is the way to heaven. But notice also He says about the knowledge concerning heaven, the truth. And furthermore, He is the source of life. In 1 John chapter 5, and the verse 11 and 12, we read those words, this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. This eternal life, which you need to have, is only found alone in Jesus Christ. He is the source. He is the fountainhead of this life. It's not to be found in anything else. It's not to be found in anyone else. You can only know God through Jesus Christ. This eternal life is found alone in Him. We say again, because it bears repetition, that eternal life is not something we have by virtue of our birth. Eternal life is not something that we can work for or labor for. It's not something that we can seek to gain for ourselves. Eternal life, which is a knowledge of God, is only gained, first of all, through a saving knowledge and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have this knowledge of God? I'm not asking you tonight, do you know God? I'm not asking you, do you know about Him? I'm not asking you tonight, can you discuss the finer details of the Godhead? I'm not asking you tonight, do you believe there is a God? I'm asking you tonight, do you have this saving knowledge of God through Jesus Christ? Has there ever been that moment in your life when you have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ? You've surrendered your all to Him. You've asked Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior. You've left your sin behind and you've embraced Christ as He has offered to you in the gospel. If you've never been saved, then you do not have eternal life. If tonight you do not have eternal life, if tonight still finds you here in your sin out of Christ without a Savior, you do not have eternal life, but rather you have eternal damnation. You've no real life. You've no real contentment in this life. You've a life without purpose. You've a life without meaning. And all you have to look for after this world and after your life is finished is a lost eternity in hell forevermore. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, this world, it offers so much. In its attractions, it offers so much by its bright lights and its dazzling appeal. This world tonight offers life. But this world does not and cannot offer eternal life. It's only a mere existence of life that this world has to offer. True life, eternal life, is only found in Jesus Christ. A faith resting and trusting alone in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Abundant life, eternal life, is found alone in Christ. Not to be found in this world, not to be found in the church, not to be found in anything else, but Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been searching for the real meaning to life. And you've tried many things. You've tried what this world has to offer. You've gone deep into your sin in the search for the real meaning of life and real satisfaction in life, real contentment in life. But you haven't found it. Because if you don't come to Christ, then you will never find the real meaning to life. He gives life that's worth the living. The explanation of this eternal life. But I want you to see as well with me here the experience of it. You see, people will tell you today that they're experiencing life, and yes, to a degree they are. They have an existence. Things are going okay. Things are going well. Everything seems rosy. And really, there seems to be nothing to worry about. Life is good. Sinner, unconverted in this meeting tonight, without Christ, without eternal life. You think that you have life. You think that right now you're experiencing life. You're in the middle of life. But the life that you have by virtue of your birth is not real life. Not true life. You see, in order to experience and to have eternal life, you need to have a new birth. You need to be born again by the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus engaged the Lord in conversation. He had a concern for his soul. He had an interest in the things of God. And of course, being a scholar of the law, he knew about God. He knew about the law. He knew about the systems of religion. But he did not know God in that saving personal relationship. He did not have eternal life. He did not have this knowledge of God through Christ on which the basis of eternal life is attained and experienced. And what did Christ say to him? A man who was full of religion. What did Christ say to him? Ye must be born again. In other words, Nicodemus, you need to have a new life. And sinner, today in this meeting, you need to have this new life through this new birth, which is in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross that you might live. He died on the cross that you might have eternal life. He died that you might never die. He gave his all that you might have this eternal life through him. But to experience it, there needs to be the new birth. There needs to be a change of heart. There needs to be a realization that things are not right with your heart and life as it stands. That there are matters in your life that are not as they should be. You need to realize your sin. You need to abandon your sin. You need to repent of your sin. You need to turn away from your sin. You need to forsake it, and you need to come to Jesus Christ tonight and receive him and him alone in order to attain this eternal life. You need to be born again. Those are terms in the Bible, terms that we love. I know terms that in modern day evangelical circles can be often sidelined. It's not turning over a new leaf you need, sinner. It's a new life you need. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. That term, born again, it means being born from above. It means a supernatural birth, not a natural birth. It speaks of being born of God, not of man. Because you see, all who are born of man, as all of us are, we do not have eternal life. But all who are born again of God and the Spirit of God, we do have that experience of eternal life. We've already mentioned 1 John 5 and 11, God hath given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Verse 12 goes on to say that he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. He that hath the Son, he who has received Jesus Christ, has life. But he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Oh, you sitting here tonight in this church and mourn, and you think you've got life. You think you've got it all worked out. You think you've found the source, the satisfaction of life. But if you have not the Son of God, if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. Have you the experience of the Son of God in your life? Have you ever been born again? Are you saved tonight? It's only through Jesus Christ you can experience this eternal life. There is the explanation of it. There is the experience of it. But there's also the enjoyment of eternal life. You see, eternal life indicates a perpetual, ongoing life. It goes on and on without end. But it's wrong to think that eternal life is simply an unending progression of years. Eternal life is not merely about the quantity of life, but also about the quality of life. You see, eternal life is not something which begins when we get to heaven. Eternal life begins right at the moment of conversion. Eternal life is something to be experienced and to be enjoyed right now. You don't have to wait for death to enjoy eternal life. Right at this very moment, you can enjoy eternal life. Eternal life does not begin with death. Eternal life begins with faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ. Earlier on in John chapter 3, in the verse 36, John says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." It's a possession that is yours to enjoy right now. Dear child of God, you are enjoying eternal life. Sinner in this meeting tonight without Jesus Christ, right now you can enjoy, you can experience eternal life. Sometimes we think that eternal life is about living with God forever in heaven. That certainly is true. But that's not all there is to eternal life. Others, when we talk of eternal life, means the forgiveness of sins, and for all that are saved will never be in hell. We'll live eternally with the Lord in heaven. And all that's entailed in eternal life. But there's so much more than that to eternal life. We come back to where we started. The explanation of eternal life. Knowing God. You see, the moment that a sinner is born again receives eternal life through Jesus Christ, there is to be the enjoyment of it through knowing Him. Through a greater knowledge of Him. It's about knowing God. It's about enjoying God more and more in our Christian life. Child of God, as you know Him more and more, as He's revealed to us in the Word, you can enjoy more and more of this eternal life that He has given to us. What a sad reflection on the Lord when so many of His people say they do not enjoy their salvation. For a child of God not to enjoy their salvation means that they're not enjoying getting to know God. That does not mean that they are going about with a permanent grin on their face. There is an enjoyment of eternal life right now, right at this very moment. Child of God, when you consider all that you have in Jesus Christ, all that is pertained there in eternal life, surely we ought to enjoy this life. Man's chief end, the Catechism tells us, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Even through the hard times, even through the difficult times, we are to enjoy Him. Sinner, you might think that tonight you're enjoying life. And I do not discount the fact that this world has some form of satisfaction, but it's only fleeting. No doubt, the pubs and the clubs around this local area, as around every area last night, were filled. Men, women, young people out seeking to have some form of life. And for a little time, yes, they enjoyed it. But then what about today? What about tomorrow morning? What about the next day? They're craving more of it. Because the life that they have, it doesn't give real enjoyment. Sinner, you might have a form of life in this life. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, in the life that is to come, you'll be in total and abject and total misery and despair as you're cast out into outer darkness and hell forevermore. If you die in your sin, you reject Jesus Christ. You will live eternally, but you'll live eternally without Jesus Christ in hell. What an awful, awful place of torment. a place where you will experience every pang and pain, a place where you will be as alive in hell as all the saints of God are alive in heaven. But the contrast could not be more stark. Heaven will be a place of eternal bliss. Hell will be a place of eternal torture and misery. But tonight in the gospel, Jesus Christ offers to you eternal life with him forever. This is life eternal. They might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Oh yes, you might say to me, life is good. Life is going all right. But what about the life that is to come? When the last page of your life on earth is written, and your book of life on this world is closed. But then, because there is life yet to be lived, and where will you be in God's eternity? If you've never come to Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted him and him alone for salvation, then all you have to look for after this life is over is a life torture, torment, and hell for all eternity. But thank God tonight it can be so different. Because if you come tonight and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come tonight and give your heart and life to him, he has promised to give to you eternal life. A life that will begin right at the moment of conversion. And then when this life is over, a life that will be continued in heaven for all of eternity. The essence of eternal life, its explanation, it's a saving personal knowledge of God. Its experience is only through the new birth. Being born again of the Spirit of God has been saved. And then its enjoyment right now. Right at this very moment, you can enjoy eternal life. You can experience eternal life. What will it be? What will it be? Eternal life or eternal damnation? I pray that this night you would come, realize that before God you are a sinner, and turn from that sin and receive Jesus Christ. Come tonight and place your faith in him for all eternity. And he will give to you eternal life. This is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you know him tonight? You might know all about him. But do you know him in that saving personal relationship? If not, then before this meeting is over, you can, right in the very seat where you are, you can ask Christ into your heart and be gloriously and wonderfully saved. Will you do that tonight? Will you get right with God? Will you be saved? Will you be saved tonight?